This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Patrick McDonald. And Patrick, alert, alert, emergency pod. Phil is making our Mondays a little bit more interesting.
I know. I mean, I didn't even have time to do my hair. I had to throw on a hat for this. I mean, he could have at least warned us a little bit. But I feel like everyone knew this was coming. The $200 million certainly makes it interesting. You got to wonder how DJ feels, maybe a little slighted there. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting just to hear from him again. What do you think?
Yeah. So 100 days or so since the last time we heard from Phil Mickelson. And while this is not a surprise by any stretch of the imagination, it is now official that Phil Mickelson will be taking his talents to LIV Golf. He released a statement on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It is three paragraphs long, but he starts by saying, "First and foremost, I want to apologize again to the many people I offended and hurt with my comments a few months ago." He then goes on to say, quote, "I'm ready to come back to play the game that I love. But after 32 years, this new path is a fresh one." And then he rounds it out by saying, "I am thrilled to begin with LIV Golf, and I appreciate everyone involved." He then says, Patrick, "I also intend to play the major." So you can read that full statement on Phil's social and all that fun stuff. But there it is. Phil secured the bag, took the 8 events. And I guess we're also going to maybe see him at Brookline.
I mean, I think that was the big thing with these guys going to LIV, right? Would they be able to play the major championships? And with Phil, I mean, the US Open's kind of the darling, right? It's what he needs to complete that career Grand Slam. So if he comes to Brookline, it's going to be an absolute zoo. Like, imagine like how bad the PGA Championship would be. This is going to be after the fact. This is going to be the week after he plays in this event, the week after he accepts that $200 million. I mean, I'm jealous. I know KP is going to be there. You're going to be there, right? I mean, what are you going to ask Phil Mickelson?
They won't let me ask Phil Mickelson anything, but I don't know. Like, I imagine, like, if he does a presser, which I imagine they're going to try, that he's finally going to have to answer all those questions. Remember, he hasn't spoken to anyone, done anything in months since the Alan Shipnuck quotes came out, even before the book came out. So there are so many questions, but now that he's moved the timeline to not talking to him until he's already played a LIV Golf event, like, it's the whole dynamic has now changed.
I know. And honestly, like, from a broader perspective, this really puts the power kind of into like the official world golf ranking point system. Cause if they decide to shell out points for this, you know, LIV series, I mean, what's stopping more and more people from playing, you know, this 8-tournament series that, you know, they expect to expand to 12, 14 events in the future in the 4 major championships? That's essentially a full season for these guys now. So it puts the PGA Tour in a pretty sticky situation.
This has been volleyed back to the USGA by Phil saying, "I also intend to play the majors." He is telling us, "I'll be at Brookline unless you tell me otherwise." And now the USGA is in a precarious position where they are the first major championship that will be played after a LIV Golf event. I am of the mind that they can shut this whole thing down. They can say, "No, we're not welcoming anybody who plays on this LIV Golf League. Find something new to do." I don't know. If they could shut this whole thing down right now and stop a mass exodus from the PGA Tour to the LIV Golf League. But Patrick, I don't think they're going to do a thing.
I agree with you too. And I can only imagine Jay Monahan is what is the CEO, Mike Davis now, probably calling up Mike Davis, trying to butter his biscuits. Greg Norman's probably doing the same thing. And, you know, he's got all the power in the world right now, because what he does essentially sets the precedent for the three other major championships as well. So like you said, the USGA is just in the position of power right now. And what they say, you know, has the potential to go for the other three majors.
Right. And what I imagine will happen is if the first set of players get through this first major unscathed, right? They are able to play in London. They're able to play at Brookline. You get a winner who, you know, 8x's his career earnings with a $4 million purse in at London. You could see events 2 and 3 be a lot more popular.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are just waiting and seeing, you know, what these consequences are going to be for these guys that go over there. And, you know, they don't want to essentially be the test dummies for this. Why would you, right? You got status on the PGA Tour for the rest of the summer. Let these guys, you know, take all the heat. And if they come through unscathed, why not go ahead and join them for all that money?
Yeah, so Brently Romine reporting that Phil's payday could be up to $200 million, which, to put into perspective, the reported pay for Dustin Johnson was $125 million. That's just to show up. Now, I imagine Phil earned himself a couple million bucks over the last couple of weeks, and also as like, you got to pay him to be, he's the punching bag, right? DJ's not going to be the punching bag. He doesn't care. Phil Mickelson is going to be the punching bag face of this league. And it seems like this was the price for Phil to say, okay.
Yeah. And I know I read a KP's article kind of on Live Golf and everything. And I thought what he had to say was pretty interesting, how he thought Dustin Johnson was kind of the perfect front man for it, because Dustin Johnson doesn't really say anything, right? He doesn't trip over his words. He doesn't try to outsmart himself. Phil Mickelson's the complete opposite of that. You know, he's the smartest guy in the world by all accounts. And so, like you said, he's going to be the lead guy for this. He's going to be answering all the questions if they're not, you know, posed to Greg Norman or anyone else. And yeah, I mean, $2 million is a tough price to forego. But, you know, Tiger Woods, obviously, that report came out, and high nine figures. How high do you think high nine figures is, Rick? You know, you think it has a 9 in front of it, an 8, a 7?
Yeah, so high nine figures, which is what Greg Norman, he did an interview with the Washington Post, said that they offered Tiger Woods a, quote, mind-blowingly enormous amount, and he would go on to say, we're talking about high nine figures. Well, low nine figures, Patrick, is anything under 500 million. So high nine figures is anything over 500 million. I don't know, man. Let's just split the difference, like 750. This is outrageous amounts of money to even be talking about.
I know. And I mean, he had zero sympathy for Phil at the PGA Championship. You heard him in his, you know, pre-tournament press conference saying, yeah, we kind of disagree on things. It's sad the past champion's not here, but, you know, Phil's going to do Phil. I'm focused on this week. And I assume that came after his, I think it had to be nine. I'm going 900 million to tell you the truth.
How sick is it that Tiger Woods is like, oh, 900 million? Nah, I'm good. Like, that's pretty dirty.
I'd like to think I have that same problem too.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I'd also turn down 900 million. Let's test it out. Somebody offered me 900 million. What I also think is interesting, so Phil Mickelson, and we saw this at the PGA Championship too, and I've told this story before. It's like, Phil wins the PGA Championship, and my aunt texts me, and I'm like, she has never texted me about anything, let alone golf, right? Like, Phil kind of transcends things. And I think what this is going to create is a situation where people are learning about LIV Golf right now for the first time. We talked about it, I think, on Sunday night's podcast, where it's like, if you're not on Twitter, you might not even know another league exists. That's done with for now, because Phil is going to change that conversation. So I mean, how do we even go about describing what the current state of LIV golf is in our larger golf landscape?
It's definitely tough. And, you know, the writers here at CBS, we kind of had a discussion about it, and we put out a piece, you know, 2 weeks ago trying to explain everything. But it's so confusing just for the casual golf fan who tunes in every weekend. You know, not a lot of people are touching on it. And so you had the Premier Golf League, obviously, which, you know, put out that statement a few weeks ago that was pretty ambiguous. And then you have the Saudi Golf League, which is the LIV Golf League, you know, run by Greg Norman, run by the Saudi Arabian, you know, investment fund. They just put up an additional $2 billion a few weeks ago. So they have enormous paydays, 48-man fields, 12-team events. They do teams of four, and they have that eight scheduled events for this year. And they're trying to make it 12, 14 in the coming years. And, yeah, I mean, their Florida Players is just money bags. I mean, they have way too much money. They don't know what to do with it. They're offering a 51-year-old, you know, $200 million. They offered a 46-year-old, you know, maybe close to $1 billion. And so it's all just out of whack. It's super confusing. Hopefully there's no dilution in talent from the PGA Tour. That's kind of my biggest worry. Kind of, you know, the PGA Tour is in such a great spot from a talent point of view. Seems like anyone can win any given week. And I'm just hoping that doesn't change.
Yeah, you nailed it. These are 54 hole events, shotgun start. They're trying to be very player friendly. The purses are mind-bogglingly insane, plus the guaranteed paydays, plus they're paying for travel, they're reimbursing for travel. I mean, it's just the whole shebang. Where it becomes a larger non-golf story and a larger geopolitical story is that all of this outrageous money is coming from the financial arm of the Saudi Arabian government. It would essentially be as if the United States Treasury was funding a golf league. That is essentially what is happening here. And when you are talking about a regime that has, you know, committed human rights atrocities, this is textbook sport washing. And Patrick, they've even released, you know, here are the talking points to the players. Make sure you say Lee Westwood is following instruction, right? Lee Westwood is saying, we are here to grow the game. We are here to do X, Y, and Z. You know, let's normalize this, which is the end goal, which is why profits don't matter. The amount of money that you invest in these guys doesn't matter. There are larger goals at play here.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I'm excited to see what the product looks like. You know, I don't want that to come off wrong, but like, I know they put in a ton of money into kind of the production side, and they have Jerry Foltz from Golf Channel. It just came out, their new play-by-play announcer. They have, you know, they put a ton of money into it. And look, I mean, it could be, if the production stinks, people might just not watch it. And like you said, profit doesn't matter, but you got to wonder, like, how much is too much? Where, when will it ever get to a point where they just cut their losses and they're like, you know, maybe let's try a different sport. It doesn't have to be golf.
That's for me, right? If the end goal is to normalize yourself in a larger political world landscape, it doesn't matter if it's golf. Doesn't matter if it's sports. It could be anything. So I always think that there's a risk that we get 18 months into this or 24 months into this, and they're like, all right, we're done. We're gonna move on to something else. We lost $1 billion. We don't care. It doesn't matter. We're just gonna go do something else. I think a lot of this will also be interesting because you know, we've been talking about this for 18 months, and now we've got players, we've got a field, they're going to tee off on Friday, and there are still a billion unknowns. What are sponsors of these guys going to do? Are there going to be Callaway logos anywhere on Phil Mickelson? Are there going to be TaylorMade and Adidas logos on Dustin Johnson? Who will be the first one? They're going to be on YouTube. Who's going to be the first one to say, hey, we'll broadcast this? There's going to be all these little dominoes that fall along the way. If they fall in favor of the Saudis, I think this becomes a fairly huge concern for the PGA Tour. But if kind of everybody holds the line and says, we're not going to get involved with this, I could see them packing up in 2 years and saying, we'll try something else.
Yeah. And I think kind of a common misconception about sponsors so far is people think, you know, KPMG dropped Phil just because he's playing in this league. It really came down to his comments about the Saudi Arabia regime. KPMG has holdings in Saudi Arabia. Like, that wasn't the reason that they dropped Phil. It's because of his comments about the regime, you know, the scary mother effers and stuff like that. And so I know there's a picture on the driving range of Dustin Johnson. He had his TaylorMade staff bag out. You know, will, you know, those companies kind of step back and stay away from these players, even though, you know, there's a potential that they play in all four major championships. DJ's exempt through, you know, 26 for the US Open, lifetime for the Masters. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And I think the sponsors, I don't know how much, if any, power they hold, because, I mean, these guys could care less with the paydays they're getting.
The two, yes, for sure. The two, and to put that into perspective, right? So Dustin Johnson getting $125 million, which is what the report is more than Tiger Woods has made in his career on the golf course. For Phil Mickelson to get $200 million, like, just think about how this is being put into perspective. So I think there are two strongholds that will determine a lot of this. We already talked about the USGA, but larger, the major championships, but also the official world golf rankings, Patrick, because that's the door for players who are not playing on the PGA Tour, not playing on a lot of these sub tours, to get themselves into major championships by earning OWGR points. We know this week is not a sanctioned event. There will be no official world golf ranking points for the London event, the first event of the LIV Golf Series. That could change, or they could create these Asian Tour events, which is something that has been considered. So those are kind of the two strongholds that if those fall, the PGA Tour is in big trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And outside of Phil with this PGA win and obviously the Masters and DJ's Masters win, I mean, not a lot of these guys are going to be exempt for any of the major championships. So yeah, like you said, the OWGR, you know, depending on what the USGA says, it's really up to them, you know, and if they want to kind of, you know, identify these tournaments as official and shell out points to these, or if some of the best players like a Taylor Gooch thinks, you know, I could go play on the Asian Tour, you know, rack up a few wins, and maybe that'll get me into the major championships as well. It's definitely kind of the big storyline. Like you said, it's OWGR and the major championships, and the PGA Tour is kind of sitting in the corner, crossing their fingers, hoping they do the right thing.
This is kind of really the first big shakeup, and correct me if I'm wrong, in somewhat major sports in a long time, right? I mean, this is a new league, a rival league being started. Obviously, the NFL has had a couple of one-off competitors, but like this would be like the AFC and the NFC merging, what, 50 or 60 years ago? Like, have we had other sizable landscapes changing in sport like this?
I don't think so, right? I mean, at least not
in a moment.
Not really in my lifetime. And it's not like it's the USFL or anything like that. It's, you know, the top talent isn't going. So yeah, it's absolutely monumental. And, you know, if it gets legs, it's just freaking crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. So bizarre. And golf, we don't have a lot of drama in golf anyway. And now we're getting like all the drama. So
yeah, my Will Gray at NBC, he tweeted out, you know, a few months ago, he goes, you know, in my heyday at Golf Channel, the biggest drama was, you know, Jason Duffner and Duffnering when that was around.
True. Yeah. Now it's like something. Wow. So, all right. I imagine more is going to change. There has been rampant speculation that, you know, Ricky Fowler will follow. That has not been confirmed anywhere. There's obviously an event on the PGA Tour this week and an event on the LIV Golf Series this week. And then I imagine, you know, after the US Open, the fields are going to change. So I imagine we are going to spend a lot of oxygen on this, Patrick, moving forward.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. For better or for worse, looks like it's here to stay, at least for the rest of the summer.
Yes, for sure. 8 events on their schedule for this year. Phil Mickelson has pledged his allegiance to that league, and we will obviously be keeping an eye on it moving forward. Producer Jacob does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Patrick McDonald. You can find him on Twitter at Amateur Status, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.